Hey, ACS fans, Lynette here, lasagna baker extraordinaire and lover of all carbs that Adam can't eat. Pussy. Anyway, I wanted to tell you guys that space is filling up for the Corolla Family Barbecue. It's filling up fast. Turns out tons of people are interested in coming to the studio to see where the podcast is recorded and hang out for dinner in the parking lot with everyone from the network. Everyone you guys love. Adam, Gina, Brian, Dawson, myself, lackeys, drinking, grilling, talking to you guys all night long. Ba-beep, ba-beep. So if you want two tickets to the barbecue, there's only one thing you can do. Head to CorollaDrinks.com and sign up for the 12-pack case club now because spots are going fast, so you got to hurry. So come join us for the Corolla Family Barbecue June 22nd at the ACS Studios, exclusively for our 12-pack Case Club members. We love you guys.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A choice to get on. ZipRecruiter.com/ADS is sponsoring this show. LifeLock.com, promo code Adam. Search Blue Emu on Amazon, promo code 3, Drew, and TrueCar.com as well. What's going on there, Drew?
Hey, we haven't talked about the Academy Awards. I wonder if you had any thoughts about that whole – did you see them?
I watched them last week.
Yeah.
I don't know. It kind of was what it was.
I had a kind of weird reaction.
Spike Lee has now jumped the shark for me. Like, I'm convinced he's racist.
Whatever. I thought he was okay.
Everything have to just be a speech about slavery. Can you just take your goddamn award and go home? It's not all right. It's
he
not all right because we're not – we're not taking our foot off the slavery accelerator, and we're screwing up yet another generation of young people who think we're growing up. They're growing up in a horrible society. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to me. I have to sit here and listen to it all the time. But it's not fair to anyone who thinks they're under the thumb of an oppressive regime or society. It's just not fair, unless, in fact, you are, in which case it's fine. But it still doesn't help.
Other than him, who I thought was constrained compared to his usual self, right?
I don't know. Yeah.
Everybody else was pretty quiet, and I thought, oh, what a pleasure to have these people just be fucking entertainers again.
Right.
They're just being entertainers. They're looking at the movies. We're talking about some accomplishments. I felt a sense of relief.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. It was not preachy and not woke. And
especially after the Golden Globes, which were confusing, the things that were being set up on the stage. Such as, you know, this is for all the people that are being – for all of you who can't stand to be around people who look different or something like that. I was like, what?
There is a part of that group and that world that is exquisitely insulting. Mm-hmm. Like the notion that you would explain that large percentages – or I shouldn't say percentages, but large in numbers, like, you know, of this country are scared of people that look different than them, scared to hear other voices.
They'd have to just stay inside. You couldn't function in this society, in this country.
You'd
right?
be very hard pressed. You certainly couldn't utilize Uber. What is that? First off, also, they're doing this whole thing where it's like they take fears, you know, people that look different for them, and then they immediately go with oppresses, you know, and it's like, well, wait a minute. Which is it? Are you scared of these people, or are you trying to hold them down? Are you actively seeking them out? You know what I mean? Like, let's just say I'm scared of Puerto Ricans. But am I going into the Puerto Rican community and trying to oppress them, or am I just trying to steer clear of them? Like, which is it?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what you're saying. You're saying I'm against these people. I'd like to hold them down, but I fear these people. But what do I fear? And if I do fear, then I just – wouldn't I just stay – like, I don't go into South Central that often. I prefer my neighborhood. I don't. That doesn't make me racist. I don't get what the angle is. First off, are we scared or are we trying to oppress or both? Oh! I think the plan is you are scared of these
therefore
people. Therefore,
oppress.
I begin oppressing. That's not how I work. You pick out another species, and I will tell you. You start naming off animals and insects in the kingdom, and then I'll tell you whether I'm oppressing them or fearful of them.
Shall I start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ants.
Oppress.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Crickets.
I'm agnostic.
Domesticated cats.
I have no fear, but I also don't seek to oppress.
Cheetahs.
Cheetahs I have fear of, but I don't go near. Like, I don't want to press
them. Surely want to press them.
Nope. Just like to not encounter cheetahs.
Great. The silverback gorilla.
No fear with no attempted oppression. Actually, I fear the lowland silverback gorilla and the cheetah, but I actually sort of hope they flourish.
Giraffe.
Agnostic. Some fear.
It's big.
Zero oppression, but...
Big ass animal.
Yeah.
Those tongues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fear.
Yeah. So there you go. That's how I roll. But maybe other people are scared of...
Maybe they always oppress what they fear.
That's a math that needs to be done for me. I don't feel that.
It's not automatic.
I'm usually the stuff I'm afraid of, I kind of stay away from.
Yeah, shocking.
That's how I work.
Crazy.
But anyway, I'm scared of people that look different or are different. So I guess women are probably the ultimate different, right?
Right.
So you got to hold them down.
Oh, yeah.
Fear them and you got to stop them.
Yeah.
So it's a weird world.
They look different, don't they?
They do, but that's normally what we like.
No. You're afraid of them.
Oh, that's right.
That's why you oppress them.
That's right. All right. Someone just got out of
let's do it.
Minnesota.
Well, it's Paul that calls us. Like, this is his personal walkie-talkie.
Oh, this guy with the roommate.
Yeah.
Paul. Oh, did I punch him up? See him? Paul. From Minnesota.
Let's try the line.
All right. Let's see. Let me try it. I got my stupid... An idea.
This is Bernie.
All right. Bernie?
Oh.
Hello.
Uh-oh. Hi, Bernie.
Oh, wait a minute. We talked to Bernie. Yeah.
You talked to me about my smoke detectors.
Yeah, well, obviously, you took it to heart.
How did it work that I punched you up and your smoke detector chirped?
The exact same moment.
I mean, listen to me, everyone. Watch a UFC fight. Find out how long 5 seconds is, like when a guy's on the ground and he's pounding him. And like, the clock, he may make it to the end of the round. It's like 5 or... That wasn't 1 second.
It was instantaneous.
And I just punched you because Paul wasn't reachable. Okay, Bernie. So, let me see if I can...
Predict?
No.
Oh.
Your name is Bernie... You have your mom and your dad are together, right? But they're bad. And they have smoke detectors and they don't get the batteries.
There it is.
And you live in a house.
She has a little bit of a longer interval and her smoke detector chirps.
Bernie?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I've been taking my medicine and, you know, using my coping mechanisms for depression lately, but nothing seems to work.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean using your coping mechanisms?
Well, my therapist recommends I do things like art and singing and stuff like that, but
there we go.
I don't know. Lately, I've been super depressed.
And have you told your therapist and your psychiatrist?
Yeah.
Okay. And did they offer any other suggestions?
Not really. They just said to use my regular coping mechanisms and try to get more sleep.
And they didn't adjust your medication?
No.
And are you thinking about hurting yourself?
Not right now, no.
Not right this second, but have you?
I'm
thinking about hurting myself just hearing that chirping.
I got it timed out at 28 seconds.
Well, that's pretty much average.
Trying to pace this. So it went off on, I think it went off at 35.
Okay.
So I'm going to add those two numbers. Yeah.
You get it about 03.
03.
Hold on a second here.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What?
Oh, it's a couple seconds off. Yeah. A couple seconds off.
So did anything happen that's made you depressed?
I went to see a new therapist, Miss Linda, but I don't like her. I didn't like the things that she wanted me to talk about.
Like what?
My past trauma.
Maybe that sort of stirred you up a little bit.
I think so.
All right. When was that?
Last week.
Maybe you ought to get some specific trauma therapy. What about that?
I never thought about that. They tried to get me to do this EMDR thing.
Mm-hmm. That would be good.
That's what I saw her for.
Okay, why don't you keep doing that? That would be good.
What's going on with the... were we going to do those smoke detector batteries last time we talked 6 months ago?
I told my mom and she changed it, but she says that it's chirping again. She doesn't know why.
Well, I'm going to say this, Drew. Hold on. There's an inordinate amount of people that kind of go... What's going on with the, you fill in the blank, like, why are the guys coming out to do this, or why can't we fix that, or why can't we whatever? And they go, I called them, but they didn't call back.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, okay, why is that?
Why is that the end of the story?
Why does that feel done for you?
Right.
Why is it, you just, oh, check that box, we're done?
Right.
I have conversations with people all the time where I go, you understand, this isn't done, or three quarters of the way done, or halfway done. It's exactly where you were if you never were born. Like, this is zero. You checking the battery, realizing it's not fixing it, and then walking away, is you're exactly in the same place as if you never touched anything. Why do you feel satiated? Why do you have this feeling? And by the way, I again, it happens to me all the time, where I go, but that's not... So we're nowhere.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I tried or I called.
I did,
like,
we did what you told me to do.
Right. What is that, Drew?
A problem with agency.
Agency.
Right. Like they don't have a sufficient sense of self-efficacy. Right? So I could never do anything like fix that. So I have to follow Adam's direction to fix it. And when that doesn't work, I don't know what to do. I'm lost.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you about LifeLock.
Let's do it.
Recently... Very recently, 127 million stolen records containing email addresses, usernames, passwords that went up for sale on the dark web for the equivalent of 14,500 in Bitcoin. The dark web provides anonymous access to illegal items and services like drugs, weapons, and stolen user data.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So many ways cyber criminals can take what's yours. Good thing, LifeLock. Identity theft protection adds the power of Norton Security to protect against the threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. If there's a problem, they have agents and they will work to fix it. But you won't have a problem because it'll be 2019, and you will have LifeLock, people, right, Drew?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam for an extra 10% off your first year. That is promo code Adam at LifeLock.com for an extra 10% off.
All right. Yeah, it's difficult that people don't seem to have control over their self or their environment.
Yeah, their self-agency, self-efficacy, self-confidence, self-worth. These are all kind of different things. But self-efficacy is something that is lacking.
Hey, Bernie.
Yeah?
I was just talking about this last week with a fitness expert on my show. But, man, am I every day that goes by, I get more into walks and talks and talks and walks and walking and talking and like literally walking and talking. Talking's good. Walking's good. But walking and talking is great. Do you have friends? Do you have someone you can walk with? Do you have someone you can call while you're walking and talking?
Not really. Most of my friends are busy working, going to school right now.
That is not an – that's another self-efficacy thing. Right.
All right.
It's like I can't your friends will have free time during the day at some point. Schedule a call with them if you need to. Don't necessarily bum rush them, but schedule it. Adam is absolutely right. Contact other people. Very important part of mood regulation.
You got the Como clip.
I've got
another
one.
This from yesterday.
Where's the one that I saw? He's sitting in front of the same graphic. He's sitting in front of the same graphic you're showing us.
I don't know. I just watched the whole thing, and he doesn't say millionaires or billionaires.
He says wealthy people are leaving,
this
right?
This section that I'm about to show you, it covers a lot of what you're asking for. He just doesn't – nowhere does he say millionaires and billionaires.
I'm just saying. It's just rich people are leaving, and we can't pay the
tax base.
I think
leaving.
This is what you're going to want.
Yeah. You guys, there's some part about this where you don't have to get caught up in the granular part. Just he's saying they're leaving, and we're not – we don't got the money.
High-income New Yorkers, here it is.
SALT encourages high-income New Yorkers to move to other states. And what you have to remember is even if a small number of high-income taxpayers leave, it has a dramatic effect on this tax base.
Oh, stop it. So what I'm saying is
that was it.
If they're not paying taxes, if rich people aren't paying their fair share, then why does it have a dramatic effect?
Yep.
It's got to be one. Drew, you're well,
look at this. Look at the rest of it.
You're a college man, right?
Yep.
If someone is not paying their fair share, then how can it have a dramatic effect? If a small number of people that aren't paying their fair share leave.
Right.
Is that, by the way, if you're not paying your fair share and there's a small number of you and you leave, If you're at a Outback Steakhouse and you're having dinner with a group, and there's a small number of guys that aren't paying their fair share when that bill comes around, and they decide to leave and go to a Sizzler, is that good news for you?
Oh yeah, huge.
Why do you lament their loss then? You're sitting at a table complaining these guys aren't paying their fair share the whole time, and then they leave, and now you can't cover the bill. I'm sorry, keep going, Gary. Drives me nuts.
We have one of the most progressive tax codes in the United States.
Other than California.
Which is a good thing.
Sure, it's good.
Which means the richer you are, the more you pay.
What?
However,
that's not what your mom says.
That presents a very fragile economy.
Hmm?
Because then you are relying on a very small number of people for the vast amount of your tax dollars. 1% of the taxpayers pay nearly half of all the taxes. 1% pay nearly half of all those
but
taxes.
Wait a minute. I thought they weren't paying their fair share.
Hey, by the way, in California, I think it's 75%. I think it's a much bigger number in California, and yet our government is not talking about this.
I'll let them continue. Sorry.
Okay.
Those 1% are the richest people in the state, they're the richest people in the country, and they are the most mobile people.
That's right.
In the country. And you see the chart on the bottom. Top 1%, about 46%. Top 5%, 63% of all the revenue. Top 10%, 74% of all the revenue. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. We did. Now, God forbid the rich leave.
Okay. Does anyone need any more discussion? What else do we need to know? What else? Why is the jury out on everything? You don't know what rich... You don't. First off, rich people in general are smart because they figured out a way to get rich. And they like money because they figured out a way to get rich. So what do you think they're going to do when you want to claw away a larger percentage of their money? What do you think the smart guy who loves money is going to do?
Take off.
Go somewhere where he can save more money.
Yeah.
What do you think? Think Toyota's stupid? Do you think Nissan is stupid? Do you think Sony is stupid? You think MGM or Fox or Warner, whatever, you think they're dumb? I think they're smart. I think they like money. I think they hire people to figure out ways to save them money, and those people have suggestions.
You got to remember something. Whether they like or dislike money, they have an obligation to their stockholders to be as responsible as possible with their money, the right. stockholders' money.
Right.
Not the CEO's money, the stockholders' money.
Right.
That's who they're operating on behalf of. If they don't, they'll be taken to task on.
Okay, I get it.
Let me tell you about Blue Emu.
All right.
I get the chance to help my audience mentally and physically. Blue Emu has been trusted by Americans for over 15 years to support healthy muscles and joints. Now they've produced an Amazon coupon code made specifically for our audience. Go to Amazon today. Use code 3DREW for a $3 off coupon. It's simple. Go to Amazon. Search for Blue Emu, BLUE-EMU. Add to cart and simply apply the code. Again, the code is 3DREW. Blue Emu has a large portfolio of products, all American made and of highest quality. The sleep penetrating formula of Blue Emu Original for soothing tired muscle aches and joints. Maximum arthritis for arthritic pain. Lidocaine is a numbing relief pain. Works for neuropathy. Not only do these formulas work great, there's no chill, no burn, and no odor. Use this opportunity to support your muscles and joints. The code is 3DREW.
3DREW, Blue Emu. All right, let's talk to Steven's got a question. It's sort of heard about it. Mm-hmm. Hey, Steven, 32, Sacramento.
Hi, guy. Ace man, great to be on with you. Hey, did you hear about that Porsche that Seinfeld sold that turned out to be fraudulent? I guess it was a 58 Carrera, and they're trying to figure out if it was done so with his knowledge. I think he auctioned it, and the people that bought it are suing him, but there's a question mark on the end of that.
I don't think Seinfeld would give himself that intentional liability of that.
Right.
There's a lot of cars. There's a lot of very close. You know, it's funny. There's a history. It's not like a house or even jewelry. Like once you authenticate, those are real diamonds and it's real diamonds. But cars, there's a whole story that goes behind it. And I don't know the full story about that. Was it like $2 million or what was the price tag?
Over a mil. It might have been one and a half.
One and a half.
And pretty nickel, that's for sure.
And it was a Carrera 356 or something?
I believe so.
A pretty nickel.
I know it was a Carrera for sure. The trim package, I'm uncertain.
It was a 356, I think. It was a 50s thing. And those cars have gone up, God, an insane amount. And we're getting back to Robert Kraft here, which is I don't want to hold Kraft or Seinfeld responsible just because they didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. You uh-huh. know, I don't think Seinfeld would ever buy a car that wasn't authentic because it hurts his collection. I don't, you know, it's one thing if he bought it and flipped it. I think he bought it and owned it. Drew's giving me some bacon.
Oh, yeah.
What am I, a schnauzer?
Well, and going back that far, it's so tough to verify that stuff. You know, the dealership's going to have a tough time tracing that VIN, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Now I'm eating bacon into the microphone.
I don't know how they do that. How would they go about that?
Amen.
Well, what was the case? I mean, how? It's a 356. That's what I said, right? 1958, Carrera.
Yeah, and he's suing the car dealer that sold it to him. So it sounds like maybe he then flipped it, so he's trying to cover himself.
He's suing the dealer he bought it from.
Yeah, that's what Gary said. They look the same. You can't tell the difference. So the thing about some of those old Porsches is you can't tell the difference between a $1.5 million car and a $175,000 car. They're that close.
What is the difference?
A Carrera with a 4-cam engine in it, the engine itself might be worth $250,000 or $300,000. Like the engine, just this little operating sort of.
And if it's all original.
Right, right. There's just a lot of,
it's
stuff.
It's like art, you know, trading. You got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
But, you know, it's interesting. I don't think, you know. Also, this is the media and the woke media and all the powers that be, they're not interested in this story because there's not a poor person of color who bought the Porsche and then got screwed. See what I mean? This is rich guy on rich guy crime. This doesn't. We need a narrative where somebody was tramped, some poor indigenous, whatever.
Well, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this.
This is rich white guy got burned by rich white guy. Now, right. Obviously, if you can get out a checkbook and cut a check for $1 million for a car,
right.
We're not too worried about you.
This is something for tomorrow. I want to talk about the press and how out of control it's gotten. I don't think we really talked much about Jussie Smollett. I mean, now that it's all out, I mean, they had just been burned at the Lincoln Memorial. Then 2 weeks later, they breathlessly run with the Jussie Smollett thing, and they don't even take a beat. They don't go, well, it's, you know, he alleging maybe this is something that this is what happened. Oh my God, it's a modern lynching.
Let me tell you something, Drew. When you have a default setting, you have to kind of check yourself.
Right.
So
you have an obligation, I would argue, if you're a professional.
The other day, it was funny. I was Lynette's toilet in her room was like running. It was like running. And I said, You got to get down. You got to shut the angle stop valve near the floor. Just turn it righty tighty, lefty loosey. Just turn to the right and shut it. It'll stop the valve from running, and then you won't hear it constantly going at night and whatever. I'll get the flapper valve fixed or whatever. And at a certain point, I don't know, a few hours later, I don't know, the new house I have is kind of lined up and. The bathrooms all kind of are in the same position. They kind of look the same and blah, blah, blah. And I somehow walked into Sonny's room and I went, I better check the toilet or something. And sure enough, I turned the valve and it wasn't shut off. And I turned it all the way to the right and shut it off. And then I sort of popped up and I went, Jesus Christ, I don't get it. What? I just told you to shut the valve. Why didn't you shut the valve? Why do I have to deal with this? And I started getting a little head of steam, and I was like heading into the living room to go, hey, listen, we got to shut the valve. And as I was like walking in the living room, I was like, oh, that was in Sonny's room. No, that wasn't in her. And then I went back and checked Lynette's room, and it was shut.
Yeah.
And I just stopped myself and go, okay, don't go, whatever you're perpetuating, stop it.
Yeah.
Because it's not the way this went down.
Yeah.
And so you have to sort of, we all have to kind of do that, you know, when you go like, oh, how many times I tell that boy to shut the door and to lock the door, and I come home, the front door's unlocked, and this is outrageous because I've told him so many times, and then it's like, oh, the maids were here. They left the door open. You have to stop.
Well, you and I will go both. Like, if somebody says, it's not fair for you to get angry with me for that, whatever it is, and they make a good point, you go, yep, you're right. I will stop. That's it. When they're right, they're right. You know?
Yes, but you must, whether you're the press, you know, micro and macro, you have to stop yourself and kind of go, look, I get the press. They hate Trump. I get the press would like us to live in a more toxic racial environment than we're in. I get that that's their narrative.
It's like there's a supply and demand issue. So now we have to make up victimizations to improve the supply.
Well, Drew, this podcaster told you a long time ago, although it wasn't that long ago, I said, well, now that we have a black president who's on a second term, everybody who's been beating the drum about the racist society we're living in, they're going to have to start working overtime. They're going to have to ratchet up their game because it's really hard to keep beating that drum in the face of what we have. And
that's what,
by
they did.
Golly, they've stepped up their game.
It started with Trayvon.
Now, you didn't necessarily think the news was going to be in lockstep with them. You thought it was going to be Al Sharpton. But it's all the folks that have been beating that drum have stepped it up.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you about TrueCar. You can step up your game. With TrueCar, 60 seconds, that's how long this commercial's going to last. What else can you do in a minute?
True cash offer.
Get a true cash offer. So says Drew. Mm-hmm. Just go to TrueCar. Do it from your smartphone or your computer. Enter your license plate number and watch your car's details pop on up. Answer a few questions. Get an accurate true cash offer from your local certified true car dealer. Then bring your car in. They'll check it out with you, walk around it, ask questions, get answers, no surprises. And you can either leave it and walk out there with a check, or you can trade it in on a new or used car. So when you're ready for a better buying experience, a better way to sell or trade in your car, you always check out TrueCar. TrueCar today, everybody. All right, let's see. Somebody's out of treatment. Wants to say hi.
That's Paul again. That's our,
oh, that's Paul. Paul's,
let's try him.
Line six is not lit up for me, so I think Paul's gone. Yes.
I'm just wondering. I'm beginning to build a case that it's not that the news is fake. It's that it's becoming, I don't know how to use a stronger word. This is a kind way of saying it. Super irresponsible. Irresponsible with their professional behavior. They don't care anything anymore except being first to the story and first and get the eyeballs, independent of the effect on our country. And then all the while waving the flag of being the fifth arm, the fourth arm of government. They're the protectors. No, they're not. They've become a real problem. And I've only recently begun to think about it as something. I remember in the 70s, listen to this. I remember it was like a 60-minute piece. It was something like that, a magazine, news magazine. It's weird that I remember this interview. But it was with a Soviet journalist. And this 60-minute interview was like beating him up for, you know, propaganda and for manipulating the press. And he goes, look, I don't understand why you're judging me. He goes, in our country, the press is a political instrument. In your country, it's a commercial enterprise. These are not different. They're just different priorities. We, politics, you, commercial. And there will be a time when your commercial interest will cause you to do things that are questionable. And here we are. Here we are.
Well, that's a very good point. I say all the time, it's – look at big tech. Look at Facebook and Google and all these things. It's, hey, he's a little kid and he's in his dorm room and he's trying to connect the world and what could be wrong with it. And at a certain point, money gets involved. And at a certain point, money then makes you do things that I don't even want to call them good or evil. They're just – they will start pointing you a direction. And I
get that. And then stop saying you're a protector of the people.
I get that.
Just say you're a business and you're going for eyes.
Well, it's more the people that look at them as that don't realize.
Or check yourself. And have like a fucking Manhattan Project to understand what's going on in your profession.
Yeah.
They've gone off the grid.
Mm-hmm.
Here's right. Something that is on the grid. It is ZipRecruiter. You know what's not smart? Job boards that send stacks of resumes for unqualified candidates. Here's what is smart. ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. It's unlike other job sites. ZipRecruiter does not wait for candidates. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. Powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply. Rated number one by employers in the U.S. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at the exclusive web address ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. Again, it is free at ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. That's right. You'll be supporting the show, and you'll be using the number one rated by employers in the U.S. Recruiter operation. Support the show at ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. It is ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right. You can get Not Taco Bell material right now. My stand-up special, the one they said they couldn't do. I'm doing it myself. Do it at Chassis, 2SSNY.com, or iTunes, just download that bad boy and let's tell the man where you can shove it. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live stuff coming up. especially coming up in a few days over at the Peterson Museum. Drew's going to be there.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful facility. Not sure they nailed the outside of it, but the inside. I can't believe you've never been to Peterson.
Driven past it a million times.
The inside is state of the art. I bet. I love it. And check out Joey Fatone's got a new pod, Two Cups of Joe, with Joey Fatone and Joe Mulvihill. So check that out at Podcast One as well, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And until next time.
Yeah, go to DrDrew.com. That's right. Check out the Opium series. It is there. It's now a podcast or audiobook, really. And, of course, This Life and Swole Patrol. And don't forget Dr. After Dark. People are loving that one.
Until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew. Say it. Mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.